down to brass tacks. Mr. Skeet, you heard a comment which was made by the caller a short while ago. Yeah, I think you're dropping in and out. Yes, sir. Let me take another call. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Yeah, I just heard a caller talk about the possibility or raise a question of credit unions investing. Now, I am not sure that I understand, or maybe I may be wrong, but I think he misunderstands, because as a shareholder at ICBL myself, I am dismayed. But the question I would want to have clarified is hello?
Yeah, that's Doug Skeet trying to get
back. Okay. Having had an offer put on the table by the acquiring entity, if a credit union or credit union movement offered, what would they be, to whom are they offering? Are they offering to buy my shares at a higher price than to be told by the person who made the original offer, I still am offering a dollar and something? So I think maybe Mr. Skeet can better explain that, because what has happened, as far as I understand, this entity, PNSB Limited or whatever his name is, has bought the interest of the former majority shareholder, that is the entity in Bermuda. And that is a done deal. What they are saying now, as, and I think that was the discussion you had, that as majority shareholder, we don't want to have to deal with a number of minority, you know, small groups of minority shareholders.
We want all the shares. We want to buy the rest.
And so, therefore, any action on anybody to pay me more, well, I would love to take it, is not going to, the action would have to come from the person offering. So there are two things. One, I would like him to clarify that in light of what the previous caller before me said. And secondly, what collectively can minority shareholders do, if anything, at this point in time? So I would
Stay and let's get his reaction to your question.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Doug.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead. Did you hear what Ms. McLean asked of you? You seem to be having some real challenges trying to sort out this Zoom matter from your end, because your microphone is moving, is coming on and off. So in the meantime, let's take another call. Hello? Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello?
I want to speak to Mr. Ellis.
Speaking.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
I'm calling from just next door to the hospital. I have a problem there with my appointment. Could you help me?
I don't know. I don't work at your hospital. I don't know what I could do for you, but...
I walk.
What's the problem?
I was going there now for actually 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Had one operation on the...
Oh, the call has dropped out, it seems. Sincerest apologies. You see, I come back to this discussion here about the ICBL and the climate. I think somebody raised a question yesterday about whether we as radio stations educate people. And it is in areas like these that we take the opportunity to explain and to educate Barbadians. And I think we also have to appreciate that a lot of these things are not in they're not in a textbook, but there are everyday experiences that people have. They're running contemporaneously, and that's where we take this opportunity to help people to appreciate and understand what are the difficulties that they're facing. I would prefer, given the difficulties I'm facing here, Dennis, with this call here, to have Doug Skeet put on the telephone rather than try to deal with this Zoom in and out all the time. I don't think that's advantageous at the moment. So let's see if we can get him on the phone and do a little bit more in terms of trying to get people to understand not only what the environment is, but how difficult it is to change this particular situation here. This person wants to know, how can the authorities in Barbados ensure or investigate any of the books or behind the scenes agreements or arrangements that are made between large entities? Another person says that I invested in a number of companies over the years, DLMP, Cable and Wireless, Bisco, etc. Very profitable. but ultimately targeted for buyouts by bigger entities who then delisted or tried to delist. It is part of life, really. Nothing to get upset about. I would recommend taking the profits and investing in solar renewable energy. That way, it is something you actually have more control over. And if you size the system appropriately, you could see not only a reduction in your electricity bill, you could eliminate it altogether and start receiving actual income. So that's one person's idea as to how we could deal with this situation. So do we have Doug Skeet now on the phone?
Yeah.
We are having a bit of a problem also with our telephone lines too. I'm told that calls are dropping out.
Okay.
All right. So a couple of comments have been made already. Anything that you want to respond to?
Yeah, the last one. The thing with you have investors who are looking for various modes of investment vehicles, and some see public companies as a way of investing for the long haul, not for the short haul. So there has to be a balance between those who are looking to make profit. That is, they come in, price goes up, they sell, they make some money, they go away, they might reinvest in other companies. But there are others, like there was a lady who wrote an article in early in this week's Nation newspaper, where she said that she saw her investment as her pension for, so she was in this for the long haul, and she saw that as providing a sort of pension for her. So you have to be able, you hopefully want to be able to satisfy both constituents. Those were short haul, those were long. And therefore, there's no reason why, I mean, someone is saying that this is part of life. Yes. What we are saying, it is part of life. But do you have to have situations where you buy out and just leave, give the purchaser, the owners cash? Because they have this cash, they have to find somewhere to use it either. If they know of further opportunities on public companies, then what do they do with the cash? And some of these are saying, I don't need the cash at this stage, you know. So I'm looking for the long haul. But in our jurisdiction, we are not like others, where companies try to attract as many investors as they can. What we're finding within our stock exchange is just one entity wants to come and buy up. And therefore, that then means that these companies are delisted, they're taken off the stock exchange. So where are the opportunities to invest? Then, you know, they're dwindling. And that's the whole purpose of we have the stock exchange when it was started up, to give Barbadians a chance, alternative investment vehicle to invest in these companies. And it started working well until, you know, folks came along, saw a good chance to buy up a company, did that. But I'm saying you don't have to buy the shares in a way that you then make all these minority shareholders no longer shareholders. I mean, there's a way you can do it so that you maintain the minority shareholders. All right? So I think one other person asked, what can the minority shareholders do? And the only thing, as I said, the minority, they're 2,000, about 2,000. You're now going to get all 2,000 together. They might need to come together as a group, but they might want to challenge this offer. And we were talking two things. You challenge, you go to court, you obviously have to get an attorney, and you have to say to the court, you know, we need to have, in this case, we don't know whether the Bermuda company had a valuation when they sold it for 51% interest. But there's a good chance now that we don't have a valuation by the new owners to say here's the reason why I'm offering you 178. So you might want to ask the court to ask about that evaluation be done. So you're going to have some resources, because the court may most likely say to minority shareholders, you're the ones going to have to pay for this valuation. So you have legal fees, you have the valuation, and you have to hope, you know, there's no guarantee that you will win. You have to hope that the court sides with you.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning to both you, Mr. Ellis and Mr. Skeet. My name is Sheila Stewart. I'm the person who wrote that letter.
Yes, Sheila.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wrote it in anger because I have invested in a number of Barbadian companies, Barbados Light and Power, Cable and Wireless, which was BT at the time, Sagicor, all of these companies. And they've all been covertly taken over. And much to my distress. As I said, I did it when I was working. I'm now in my early 60s. I took early retirement. I am not a financial wizard. I don't understand these things. I do remember that when Emir was taking over Light and Power, there was a circular, and it said the offer was not a fair market value of the shares. And there was some reassessment done, and they offered a higher offer, but it was compulsory. And I was also angry at that because I don't understand these things. So perhaps Mr. Skeet could explain them for me. why it is that if I buy my shares, that I then have to sell them without my consent? I still have shares in Cable and Wireless, and for the life of me, I cannot understand what is happening with Cable and Wireless, and nobody is saying anything.
What is the difficulty you're facing with the Cable and Wireless situation?
Could I offer?
Yes.
What the Cable and Wireless is that is subject to a court case.
Okay.
The minority shareholders have come together. There's currently a case going on in the High Court on the Cable and Wireless matter.
To determine what?
To determine the fairness of the price that was offered by Cable and Wireless West Indies to the shareholders. So there's a class action suit currently in progress. It's winding its way slowly.
How long has case been going on?
For years.
Well, that's the thing. It's 2017. But you know how the legal... the courts are here in Barbados. The CCJ has made some comments that it takes forever. But this one is going. It's taken some time. And the reason it's taken time is because the minority shareholders in this class action suit have been asking through the attorneys to get certain disclosure from Cable and Wireless. And Cable and Wireless seem to be taking their time to do that. Now, these companies are big companies that have resources, so when they come up against minority shareholders, they recognize the minority shareholders don't have the financial clout. So some of these can, you know, strand these things out and take time and hope that the minority shareholders would go away. So that one is winding its way. I can say to you, though, that a similar situation occurred in Jamaica. The minority is a significant minority shareholder in Jamaica sued and was successful. And recently, that same minority shareholder had asked that he be allowed to sue Cable and Wireless in a U.S. court. And he was granted that wish by the Supreme Court in Jamaica. So we're hoping here in Barbados that our circumstances are similar, and that could be some precedent to guide the courts here in Barbados. Ms. Short, the thing with this is that unfortunately you own shares and you don't have to agree. I agree. The only way you can stop that is if all the minority shareholders get together. Because you don't have to sell. The problem with this is that you can refuse the offer. You don't have to accept. But in the course of this matter, if 90% of the 48% of shares that are held by the minority, if those 90% of that 48% decides to sell, unfortunately, the owner, the acquirer, this new entity, can then compulsory, the law allows for the compulsory acquisition of your shares.
And that's what I read in the circular. For me, too, I found the circular that I received a week ago very hostile. The language is very threatening and very hostile. Maybe it's because I was reading it in anger, because I opened it and I said, not another one of these again, because it's undermining so much of what we stand for in terms of national pride and so on. Almost all the companies that were built up by Barbadians are now out of Barbadian hands. And in my view, it's not just that. It's also that whatever profits these companies make with these are shores. It also, I've seen where also companies that have been acquired, the services that are offered to the public also deteriorate. I'm not happy with the service, for example, that is offered by Cable and Wireless, even though it's no longer Cable and Wireless. And they pay scant respect to the customers. I'm also a customer of ICBL, and I would hate to see the services of ICBL deteriorate. I was with ICBL now for about 3 decades or more. Anyway, I am thankful that you have taken it up. Mr. Skeet, I do know you, so I thank you for taking up the mantle, because, as I said, I'm not a financial wizard. And for you, Mr. Ellis, to air it. My thing was, going to write a letter to the editor to express my views. And
well,
I've done that.
I wanted to ask you to take us back to the position of a person who was working and looking towards the future, and seeing these investments as part of that future.
Royal Bank of Canada, which was my banker at the time, offered its customers an opportunity to invest. And I think I invested $500 per month out of my salary. I didn't choose the stock to some extent. I did choose some. But the person who was there, who is now with I don't want to call her name, but she was with RBC. She's now with Sagicor, because I had reason to speak to her recently when I got a check. I didn't even know that Sagicor had been sold, and I received a check in U.S. dollars. And I said, why am I receiving U.S. dollars? And it seemed as though my shares have been substantially reduced. And I called her, and she said to me, they had sent a letter to shareholders, but they think it was ignored in a green envelope. I went back and looked for this green envelope, and I realized that there was a notice. But as I said, these things seem to be done so covertly. The media, for me, the journalists need to take up the mantle on this and inform the public, because I didn't see anything in the media about that ACBL takeover or anything like that. All I saw was that some of the board of directors of ICBL resigned recently. And I was saying, this is a little odd. Why would someone who was with ICBL for all these years, senior people, knowledgeable people, suddenly resign? And of course, you hear nothing again. Nobody takes it up and run with it and investigate. Investigative journalism is a thing that is missing in Barbados as well. We need to take these things and get to the bottom of them. Like the Cable and Wireless one, you're just asking about it, Mr. Ellis, but this is something that has been going on for quite some time. And nobody, all I see on BSE, the Barbados Stock Exchange, is that it's not trading because it's not something. The other one is banks holdings. almost all of these companies have an issue. Maybe I invested in the wrong...
Sorry, there's a noise in the background. I don't know.
I have switched off everything in my house.
No, something knocking. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, ma'am. You were saying.
So I did this, as I said, as an investment for my future. I saw it as a long-term investment. As you get older, your income diminishes. I am a homeowner, so I still have to repair my home and do all these things, pay bills. And for me, as I said, I saw the offer also as an insult. I'm sorry, I speak as an insult, because the shares are still listed as $3 on the Barbados Stock Exchange. So why are we being offered less than Barbados dollars? Yeah.
Well, this question of investing for the future, for retirement, Doug Skeet, I'd like you to address that, because often you hear people say that Barbadians just buy the shares and put them down. And many people are persuaded to do exactly what Ms. Stewart says she did,
which
is to look towards the future.
Yeah, right.
And retirement. Well, let's talk about a bit about that part of what obtains in Barbados.
Right. And there's nothing absolutely wrong with that. That's no different to buying a piece of land and holding it for the future. What you're doing is you're holding that for capital gain purposes. Two things: capital gain, so that will appreciate in the future, so that when you're ready. And secondly, with the shares, you can get the income, which is the annual dividend. So those things, two things you're doing. Now, so that's one person. The other person, you can have the other person who is not looking for that long-term investment. There's a short-term gain. So you can accommodate both. So the guy who sees the $3, buys the shares for a dollar, he can go out and sell his $1 share, get the $3. He makes a profit of two. And then he can take the $3 and decide, I want to invest it in something else. You know, so there's room for both. There's absolutely nothing wrong with individuals who are investing for the long term. It's not only individuals who do that. Companies do that as well. Commercial banks do that, you know. So you invest for the long term, because just as companies see themselves as not going out of business in any short period of time, they want to remain for 100 years, then you got to invest for that period of time. You can't just start selling everything. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with with investing for the future.
It's an investment. And I must tell you, in deciding to invest, this was a family discussion. I have a brother who does them for the short term. He is more financial wizard. So he buys and sells, and he makes a profit.
Right. Sure.
When I said to him, what are the best stocks to invest in, he said utilities, because utilities are there for a lifetime. And that's what I thought I was doing, but it still didn't work out. Anyway.
So you knew you get some people who are sympathetic, and then there are those who are not. So here's a comment from one of the unsympathetic people who says, you know, an investment is a risk, and therefore, you know, you can anticipate that things will go south. You get some gains in the short term. You can get some gains, but if you go in this go the distance as you have proposed to do, then that risk is expanded. How do you respond?
And we do
to that?
Know that there's some risk. I'm not denying that we know that there's some risk that it will fluctuate, that you may not get back your investment and so on. But we still invest in these companies to keep them afloat. So why is
there's a risk. But what we are saying here is we are not questioning the risk. We are questioning the fairness of what was offered. What is what was offered fair?
Yeah, fair.
And to go back
to Cameron and Wireless and so on, for the last 3 or 4 years, investors have not received a cent from Caribbean and Wireless, as it seems as though it's gone pear-shaped and dormant.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is also fair to shareholders.
this, as I said, the Caribbean and Wireless matter is a matter for the, that's going through the court. Ms. Stewart, I don't know whether you're one of the, you are one of the members of the class action suit.
I'm not, but I saw when it was taken up by one of the former staff members. I was not living in Barbados, by the way, because I was living overseas for quite a while.
Right. So if you're not, so those members who are part of the class action suit are being kept up to date on what has happened as this thing winds its way through the court. And that's why you don't know what is happening. But again, with these companies, and that's why, you see, David, when these prices, you get these stock prices, you get a price on the stock exchange, and when someone comes along, or when the stock price does not reflect the intrinsic value of the shares, that's when you have these ones come along, these folks come along, recognize that a stock price could be $3, but when you look at the financials of the company, the intrinsic value may be $5. So that then presents for that person an opportunity to buy a company at a undervalued price and then seek to get the gains, whatever gains are in there. And that is what is happening now. In this case with ICBL, the offer is 178. This company, and just remember, you're buying a company to expand and increase the earnings, profits, and so. So an interest in the company is really not only to get current dividends, but you're also investing to get future returns, which may hopefully would be more than what you're currently getting. So the person who sees that this company is undervalued and buys it will be depriving the current shareholders of those gains in the future. And hence, when companies are acquiring, in this case, ICBL, which is at a price of $3, I'm saying, you know, that gives the buyer some opportunities and benefits that would more in the future be worth more than the $3, and that's where the premium comes in, where the acquirer pays more than the $3, because that acquirer is going to be getting benefits by the further developing the company into the future. And hence, the minority shareholder is asking, since I'm giving up my investment now for gains that I can have in the future, you need to pay me possibly more than the $3, the market price, particularly since you're going to have it all for yourself. And that's what a minority is saying. You're buying this company. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Stewart, since you published your letter to the editor was published, what kind of reaction have you had?
My reaction has been really from my friends who are telling me, thank you for doing a public good. I had written to one saying I really wish Miss Wendell McLean, because I know he would have done his due diligence and really come back with something like Mr. Skeet has done. And they said, why Wendell, why don't you become the new Wendell? Well, I don't know that I want to take up that role. But I wanted someone who had a financial understanding of these things to really come back and make some public comment, and I think that has generated that. I saw another article, which was not mine, but it made reference to my letter. Sorry. And the other good thing is, I sent it as a letter to the editor, but the Nation published it as a guest column, which I guess they saw that there was merit in what I was saying. But I also want to go back to the value and to Light and Power, simply because I also had shares in Light and Power, which were compulsory acquired. I can't remember what they were traded at, because at the time, again, I was overseas. I think they were traded at $5 on the stock exchange. If you look at the mirror shares right now, are they not close to $20?
Right.
Really and truthfully, minority shareholders are being disadvantaged. And that's my point, and I'm going to stick with it, because I feel that we are taken advantage of as Barbadian investors.
Yeah, and Ms. Stewart, if I remember correctly, the offer made by Emera was in the vicinity of $11. So if they were trading at $5, look at the difference. Yeah, and that's the premium that they paid you, because they recognize that once
and
they developed
no
this company, yeah, they developed this company, they would, you know, they would make significant return. Well, look, this is an example on the ICBL. Well, let's go a little further. They're offering you $1.78. The book value of ICBL, based on the 2018 financials, because I don't see the 2019, for some reason, the 2019 statements are not on their website. It's about $2.82. That's the book value. So it's close to the $3, you know, but you're being offered $1.78. So one can question the fairness of this. And as I said,
I must tell you, what the Barbados Stock Exchange does on an annual basis is to send me an annual thing of the stocks that I have. And I remember going back, I went and started digging up on Sunday. And I saw at one time ICBL shares were as high as $4 per share.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they've come down, and we've had COVID, and we know that COVID has impacted a lot of things, not only in Barbados, but globally. And I wondered, again, if we were being taken advantage of because of COVID. Anyway, that's another aside. Of all the possibilities, the one person I haven't yet discussed it with is that same brother. Because he's overseas at the moment, but I will at some point in time talk with him to see what his views are.
All right, Ms. Joy, I thank you very much for joining us and sharing your experiences in this regard with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Doug Skeet, there's some people who seem more confident when it comes to putting your money in property in Barbados as an investment. What are the risks there?
Yeah, but he says, like, you know, like our grandparents said to us, don't put all your eggs
in one
basket. So you want a mix, to be honest with you. You want to mix, like Mr. Stewart was saying. You're doing these things for, if you're an older person, not the young folks, who might not necessarily matter as much. But if you're an older person looking to provide for your retirement, yes, you can put it in real estate. You know, it might not. And the experience here is that real estate hardly ever. The market usually tends to be a little stable. The prices don't drop. But the truth is that you want a situation where you have a mix, so that if you got real estate, a piece of land, and you need cash quickly, you know, let's say that piece of land is worth $500,000. It is unlikely that you would, just theoretically, if you're looking for quick cash, the chances of selling a piece of land and getting the $500,000 in a hurry may not be as quick as if you have shares on the stock exchange where you can say to a broker, look, I don't need $500,000. I only need $30,000. So here are some shares. If you can sell those for me, because I need some cash quickly. All right, so those are the downsides. The ability, when you need cash and you need it quickly, what's the best way of achieving that? So if you tie it all up in real estate, is that the best strategy? And I would say probably not. So you want a mix. You want to probably some shares. There was a time you can buy some government paper. You still have some cash around, because that's the quickest way on the bank or your credit union to go get your cash. But you don't want to take all your money and put it into real estate. I don't know that's the best strategy.
I'll come back to that question after this notice here that parents and guardians of students attending Lawrence T. Gay Memorial Primary School are advised that the school has been closed. There's some external order affecting students and staff on the compound. Therefore, parents and guardians whose children were having face-to-face classes are therefore asked to collect them from the school as soon as possible. That's the Lawrence T. Gay Primary School. So the impression that some people give is that once you put your money in land, you are better served. You don't run that particular risk, and you're better off.
Yeah, well, put it this way as well. You put it in land, and why people put it in shares is you put it in land. What's the return from the land? There's absolutely no return from the land. Meantime, you're paying land tax. So, you know, unless you're going to take that land, if it's raw land, and rent it out for someone, if it's residential, it has to be agricultural, so you may want to rent it, or you work the land to plant some vegetables and so, you know. But if you're talking about real estate, if you're talking about land and it's residential, then what's the income? Now, with shares, you're going to get a dividend. Sometimes the dividend, you get a nice dividend on these shares. So that's why I was saying there's a mix, because unless you're putting the land to use where there's some return, you may find they're all outgoings and there's no incoming. So you're still out with cash. You're out with cash. But again, I mean, one is free to do that. Huh? So if you want to invest, invest. The other thing with the land is with the prices that we have now, you're buying a piece of land, depending on where you buy it. You know, you're probably talking $100,000 and over. For the small shareholder who does not have that type of resource, who maybe just $1,000, you certainly can't buy a piece of land for that. So you buy some shares and you start and you keep buying, as Ms. Stewart said, she was investing each month. You know, and over a period of time, you can acquire a fair amount of shares. But as I said, I think all the advisors, financials would recommend to you that you don't put all your investment in one particular asset, that you try to broaden and have a mix of investments, and that's the best. So that when if you lose on the real estate, the price drop, you have it all in the real estate. You don't lose everything there, you know. So you mix losses with gains. And that way, you, at the end of the day, you net out and you are probably break even, or you are above that break even line.
Well, Ms. Stewart, when she spoke with us, mentioned a couple of transactions that, in her judgment, left her feeling disadvantaged. There's been some response to that from others. This person says that in the case of the BLMP shares, the shareholders there got double the listed market price.
Right.
And this person says, I can tell you that emphatically, says the person.
Yeah.
And then we got Banks Holdings, where there was a competitive bid that drove the share price above what was quoted on the stock exchange.
Right.
And the shareholders who wanted to sell were able to benefit from that. So it's a different situations that people have been faced with there.
And here's the, let's just mention quickly here, David, and that is what, now with this case, this offer closes on the 20th of this month. So we have to wait and see that if, in the case of Banks, and it was Banks versus the other one, Banks, I can remember it, and there was also the S&T, where you have one person making an offer, and then you have other entities getting involved and saying, you know what, I'm also going to make an offer. Now, in the case of Cable & Wireless, there was only one offer, and in the case of ICBL, only one so far. So we haven't explored that, but let's say that someone thinks that this company is a great company to have and were to enter the game. Then that's where we would see whether this price will remain at 178, or it can go for 178 and probably go up to $5 or $6.
Because this person,
how badly you would need the company.
This person raises the question of investing regionally, and it brings to mind a presentation which was made a few weeks ago by Professor Justin Robinson at the University of the West Indies, who said that basically the Jamaica market has developed so well over the years that one does not even have to consider creating any regional market. That people can just invest on the Jamaican Stock Exchange, where they do not appear to be having this kind of issue that we are discussing here. Have you been putting any focus on that as an alternative to having people invest in Barbados?
Well, we haven't, and a couple of things on that. Yes, the Jamaica market, stock exchanges, is a lot more liquid. There are a lot more companies on that market than the Barbados Stock Exchange. And as well, you look at Trinidad, they're more liquid. A lot more shares are traded. A couple of years ago, the Jamaica Stock Exchange was the fastest developing stock exchange even in the world, I think, some years ago. The question with that, David, is that in investing, we said it's a risk. You need to know, you need to be able to assess the company. So if I'm in Barbados, I am not in Jamaica. I have not a clue about the market there and the companies. I need to get familiar with what those companies are doing, what they're investing in, get the financials and that type of thing. So one has to have knowledge. You have to operate on a basis of knowledge before. So it isn't to say you get it one day, or you have to get a broker. So who are the brokers in Jamaica? You can use brokers here in Barbados, but those brokers have also to be knowledgeable of what's happening on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. And you either do it yourself, or if you don't have that knowledge, rely on a broker for the broker to do. And my understanding is that you can, if you're doing that, if you need, you're probably going to need some U.S., that would be facilitated through the central bank that would give you permission to do that. But if that were to be, you can do that. I was going to make the point that if there was a lot of U.S. dollars flowing out from Barbados to Jamaica, I doubt it would be any significant, but then you never know. The central bank obviously going to control the movements of foreign exchange. But at the moment, there's an exemption on that matter. You don't need the central bank permission to invest. But you need to get a broker, and you need, obviously, you're going to have to rely on your broker, and that the broker is making the right decisions on your behalf. So, yeah, Jamaica, Trinidad, you can do that. There was, if you remember, David, years ago, must say about 20 years ago, there was a talk of a regional stock exchange. And today, I don't even know what. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything from the Barbados Stock Exchange. But it seems as though that is no longer a possibility. But were that so, it would have been easier, to invest in companies in Jamaica. So you can Google the Jamaica Stock Exchange, go on and see what they have there. But you would have to do your research, and it's not something you're going to do just in 2 days. But really go on the research and see what's happening there before you invest.
Is asking me here, why are we promoting the Jamaica Stock Exchange? We need to encourage companies to list on the Barbados Stock Exchange. But we got to be realistic, though.
Yeah, but who's doing that? Who's encouraging any company? You know, you have companies, instead of encouraging, we're saying that companies that come along, buying these companies, throwing the minority shareholder, and then delisting. So at one stage, we had close to 30 companies on the Barbados Stock Exchange. We're now down to about 18, and bit by bit, they're disappearing. You know, Sagicor is about to delist from the stock exchange. They've gone up to Canada, Toronto. They were on the UK Stock Exchange. Nothing much was happening there. And while they were listed on the Barbados Stock Exchange, they've now decided, they've delisted from the UK. They've gone on to Toronto with a new company that bought some of the shares and virtually have taken over the reins on that. And they're eventually going to be delisted from Barbados. So I'm not sure if all our big companies are saying we don't want to be on there. And there's this excuse about the cost of listing, the number of transactions. But you're not encouraging Barbadians to invest in these companies when you're coming and buying them out. And secondly, there's not much you're hearing from government. Government doesn't seem to have any policies on the stock exchange. You hardly hear anyone, any of the government ministers, make any mention of the local stock exchange. And about 10 years ago, when they were tax incentives given to encourage people The feeling was that there, those incentives were overdue and needed to be removed. So that also put a spoke in Barbadians who would invest a few dollars and get a tax write-off for that investment. So I'm not sure who you're going to encourage when the big ones are all going. And, talk to them and see who would be willing to go on the stock exchange.
So against this background, here's the government of Barbados talking about investing in some new arrangement with Barbados Sugar. I think it's BAMC or one of those companies, or BADMC. It talks about other opportunities that may arise within state-owned enterprises that are being privatized. I mean, what kind of work would the government have to do to stimulate people's interest in that, especially in light of the fact that we've been burnt, so many people have been burnt by government paper?
That's the other thing. And, there's a very strong likelihood that anything that is put on the table by government may not get a response simply because of that, because people thought that, you know, your treasury bills and debentures and treasury notes were sacrosanct and they were safe. Then to find out, they're not as safe. Again, there's a risk. But just remember, there's only one paper. There's the savings bonds that have not been affected. With all of that, the savings bonds are still 100%. But one could equally say, well, who's to say that another couple of years down the line that those may not be equally affected? So in this current environment, it's going to be difficult to encourage Barbadians to touch government paper, to touch government entities that may be private entities that you may, you know, take public. And the ones on the stock exchange, again, Barbadians are going to be saying, you know, why touch those? Because someone will come along and do the same thing, have a few shares, and then tomorrow I don't have any shares. So I'm not sure, you know, where we're going to go, where we're heading. And no one is seeming to be suggesting a way forward and how we can try to get our stock exchange back vibrant and moving along. And if you can't, then whether it might not be better to have a regional stock exchange so that Barbadians can also, because when we talk about Jamaica, it isn't only Barbadians investing in Jamaica companies. We got to recognize that is a two-way street. Jamaicans might equally want to invest, again, to spread their risk, might want to invest in Barbadian companies as well. So there's a win-win situation in this. And as well, we're not leaving out Trinidad. And the OECS also has a stock exchange. So they're 3-4, right?
The Jamaican government gave significant assistance for successive Jamaican governments have done so to incentivize small and medium-sized enterprises to list, and they did so via tax incentives. The suggestion is that Barbados needs to look at this as well. I'm going to come back to discuss this and other related matters as we continue this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.